There is a growing shortage of teachers in the U.S., and the major reason, according to this new report from the Learning Policy Institute, is the high rate of teacher turnover. In Oregon, the teacher turnover rate is almost 40%, and in California, it's 30%. This creates a number of problems, not least of which is filling vacancies with qualified teachers. This new Learning Policy Institute report has a number of recommendations for addressing the crisis. Here to discuss their findings are Linda Darling-Hammond, who is president and CEO of the Learning Policy Institute. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning.
And Desiree Carver-Thomas, who's a research and policy associate for the Learning Policy Institute. And thank you, Desiree, for being with us this morning here on the Jefferson Exchange.
Yes, thank you.
So according to your report, teacher turnover numbers vary from school to school, subject to subject, region to region. But are they serious enough that you would characterize this as a national crisis?
Absolutely. We know that teacher shortages are across the country, whether in, different subject areas or different schools. And so it's a national problem. And it's also, a state problem. So even in states that don't have an overall shortage, they may have shortages in mathematics and science or special education or English language development. So, these are, important issues that affect, all students.
So,
and it's a big problem in California, where about half of the teachers who were coming into classrooms last year had not yet finished their preparation for teaching. Some had not even started it because the shortages were so severe.
And I understand that in a number of years, California had lowered their standards so that they could get younger teachers who maybe weren't fully prepared into the classroom just so they'd have somebody there. Is that correct?
Yeah, there are high standards for those who meet the standards, but there are back doors, emergency permits and things like that for districts that are unable to find a qualified teacher. And those can be secured by people who have, in some cases, not even met the subject matter expectations for that assignment, much less the knowledge about teaching.
Now, you both mentioned that the teacher shortages vary from school to school, et cetera. Where are they absolutely the worst in this country?
Special education has long had severe teacher shortages as a subject area. That's where we see, some of the most egregious shortages. And in California, something like two-thirds of new special education teachers are entering the field uncertified. So that is, I think, where our most acute, critical shortage area is as a country.
And then in schools that serve low-income students and large concentrations of students of color, we typically have higher shortages and also higher turnover rates.
We're talking with Linda Darling-Hammond, who is president and CEO of the Learning Policy Institute, and Desiree Carver-Thomas, who is a research and policy associate with the Learning Policy Institute. You can join the conversation by calling us at 800-838-3760, or you can send us an email at jx@jeffnet.org. We're talking about teacher shortages and teacher turnover and what can be done about that. Now, in your report, the top two reasons that you cite for teachers leaving the field are, number one, the pressure of teaching to standardized tests, and number two, frustration with administrators. There are other reasons, but those seem to be the top two. If we can take those two one by one, first of all, teaching to the test, what's the issue there?
Go ahead, Desiree. So the issue there is that, as teachers are, feeling pressure to, meet high stakes testing requirements, it limits their ability to meet the needs of their students, be able to, make sure that they're offering the kinds of supports that students need, that they are engaging their students the way that they might want to, which just takes the joy out of teaching and really pushes teachers out of the field, not to mention, the kinds of sanctions that could be put on, you know, on them or on their schools, you know, if they're in a low performing school. So, you know, teachers, of course, you know, they want to meet the needs of their students. No one wants to fail their students, but the kinds of testing and accountability pressures associated with No Child Left Behind really put a damper on their abilities to teach the way that they might want to. And of course, that's changing now with the new federal law, which allows for more flexibility in the way that we assess students and teachers and assess student performance.
Desiree, you mentioned sanctions. What are those sanctions if a school or a teacher fails to achieve correct test scores?
So the way that teachers are evaluated and things like school closures or turnaround, that, you know, where teachers could lose their jobs based upon school performance.
And Linda Darling-Hammond, the other major reason is poor administration. What are you seeing there?
Well, you know, in some schools, administrators kind of don't share much of the authority. It's kind of a top-down situation, or they may be unable to provide the supports that teachers need to get better in their craft. In the schools where teachers are most isolated and feel like they can't get the supports for the materials they need or just the moral support with students, they're much more likely to leave. In schools where principals really build a collaborative learning team and everyone's working together and teachers feel like they can get the supports they need to be effective, you'll often get teachers staying for a much longer time and much more satisfied with their work.
Now, you would think that most teachers who leave the profession are just retiring. There are a lot of people always retiring from their professions, but your report says that's not really the case for teachers. Most of them are leaving for other reasons.
That's right. About two-thirds of the teachers who are leaving are leaving for reasons other than retirement. So, again, they're citing things like dissatisfactions with accountability and administrative support and working conditions. So they're leaving mid-career. Just about a third are leaving due to retirement.
And so that is an indication just of burnout.
Yeah. And, you know, when teachers are not as well prepared when they come in, they leave at 2 to 3 times the rates of teachers who are fully prepared. So sometimes our attempts to recruit people to solve shortages by bringing in people before they're trained actually backfire and create ongoing churn in the classroom because it's hard to teach. And if you haven't had the opportunity to learn how to do it, and you may not get mentoring support once you get in there, it's too hard to continue. So we need to have these approaches that will bring people in, support them getting prepared, give them mentoring so that they can learn this complicated job and stay.
The topic is teacher turnover and a new report from the Learning Policy Institute, which looks at the growing shortage of teachers. Teacher turnover and what can be done about it. Our guests are Linda Darling-Hammond and Desiree Carver-Thomas of the Learning Policy Institute. You can join the conversation this morning by calling us at 800-838-3760 or send us an email, jx@jeffnet.org, if you have a question about this issue. Linda, are there still adequate numbers of new teachers entering the field, even if their preparation and training leave something to be desired?
Well, there really aren't. We've had a tremendous drop in the number of people entering teacher education. In California, the drop was over 70% over the last decade, slightly less, but still noticeable in Oregon and other parts of the West Coast. And so, you know, part of this is because we were laying off teachers for a long time. Money was being cut from the budget. Teachers were getting laid off. If you were a young college student saying, what should I do with my life? Going into a profession where there were very few jobs and where you might face layoffs was not that appealing. It is turning around a little bit, but not nearly enough now to meet the demand for teachers now that there's a little bit more money in the system and districts want to hire again and reduce those class sizes that got so large.
And I imagine with so many teachers leaving the field apparently out of frustration, the word on the street is probably not very good about this as a profession to follow.
That can also be the case, that, if you're hearing that it's a tough job once you get there, it's also not encouraging. I would say that there are a lot of changes going on in schools in the last year or two that are improvements over where things were before, both financially and in terms of the kinds of policies that are being put in place. So there's a little bit of encouragement there, but we have to do some really assertive incentives to make it possible for people to go into this profession, one of which is just saying if you will prepare for teaching, we'll pay for your education, because the debt load for young college students is so high that it's hard to go into a profession that pays less than other careers with the same level of education if you don't have that kind of support.
So your report, in addition to identifying the problem and the reasons for the problem, also offers some solution. Whenever we read reports like this, the solution is often more money. But of course, it's not that easy. For example, in Oregon this year, schools got a pretty hefty increase in state funding after our last legislative session. But most, if not all, of the increase is being eaten up by higher benefit costs and funding for this state public retirement system. So what recommendations do you make in this report for addressing teacher turnover, and do they all require more money? Desiree, you want to take that question?
Sure. We do recommend that teachers are paid, fair wages for the work that they do, that teachers who are paid better tend to stay in the profession longer. And then we recommend that states invest in funding teachers' preparation so that, they're coming into the field well prepared to do the difficult job of teaching, so that they'll be more likely to stay. I think it's an investment, but there are costs to turnover. So, in a large district, they can pay up to $20,000 or more to replace each teacher who leaves the district. So, districts are paying a cost for turnover, and if that cost were instead diverted into programs that would, help teachers to be well prepared to stay in the classroom longer, that's a benefit to students and a good use of funds. And then we also recommend that states consider ways, programs for improving school leadership so that school leaders can provide the kinds of environments that teachers want to stay in.
And that brings me to another question, because you do recommend requiring additional training for school administrators. What are some of the limitations that you're seeing among them? We're focusing a lot on teachers here, but you do call out administration as a significant problem in your report as well. So what can school administrators do? What kind of additional training specifically do they need to be better administrators?
In some states, there's very little support for school administrators to get trained, so it's very variable. But those who can get the kind of support to learn how to be an instructional supporter and leader, how to help teachers continue to learn, how to get better at their craft, how to create a collaborative, collegial working environment where teams of people can work together, rowing in the same direction, are the kinds of leaders that keep teachers in the classroom and keep them in their schools. And that kind of training exists in some programs, but much more of it needs to be developed for the people who are coming into the principalship.
Now, there's a great amount of training like that available in the private sector for people who are going to be managers in a company or leading a company. Is it possible that some of that could be adapted for school administrators?
Yeah, there are things that business can contribute to school leadership development, and some of the best programs really draw on what we know about good management, in business and across the board, in terms of creating the kinds of environments that really incentivize employees to learn and work well together in teams and so on. So there's a definite role there. There are also things that are kind of unique to education, of course, because kids are not product, and you have to take them all as they come and figure out how to work with them. But there is quite a bit that can cross over from what we know about management generally.
And finally, Desiree, you just mentioned that teachers are coming in unprepared. Is this specifically they're unprepared in teaching methodology, or you're seeing lacks in their actual subject areas, like they need more training in math, for example?
It varies by state. So, you know, when teachers are in short supply, states may or districts may hire teachers who have no subject matter competence as well as no teacher preparation. So teachers who, you know, have the bare minimum bachelor's degree. And, you know, in other circumstances, they may be hiring out-of-field teachers who might know something about, you know, be certified to teach in English but not in physics. So in either case, you know, it undermines student achievement.
And finally, in your report, do you actually identify an ideal rate of teacher turnover? I mean, we're looking at almost 40% in Oregon, 30% in California. Obviously, it'll never be zero, but what would be a good target if your recommendations in this report were taken to heart and implemented across the country?
Well, when we look at high-achieving countries like Singapore or Finland, their teacher attrition rate annually is about 3 or 4%. And that's mostly because people are retiring at some point. Very few people leave out of dissatisfaction. So that would be a good goal for us. And if we achieved that goal, we actually would not have any shortages because we would have more than enough supply of teachers.
We've been talking with Linda Darling-Hammond, who's president and CEO of the Learning Policy Institute, and Desiree Carver-Thomas, research and policy associate for the Learning Policy Institute. Their new report on teacher shortages and teacher turnover will be published later this week. Thank you so much for being with us here on the Jefferson Exchange.